Dalad Mar Cheshvan, Tuesday the 28th of October, Rabbi Danny Kirsch, Action Men.
Good morning, everyone. It's always a lovely way to begin a day, and also this wonderful period of time at the beginning of the Jewish cycle of Bereishis. I heard many years ago from Rabbi Lef, one of the enormous differences which is stark and obvious between the Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos is Sefer Bereishis is about the power of individuals. People whose individual lives make an enormous difference to the world around them. Adam, Noach, Avram, Yaakov, Esau, the story of individuals, power of the individual. Shmos is about Klal Yisrael when they become a nation, and the differences that people and nations are going to make. I just feel that just a few days after we enjoyed quite an extraordinary Shabbos in this country and in tens of countries around the globe, it's a time just to consider one individual's initiative that Shabbos should be brought back on the radar of as many Jews as possible has impacted on thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps up to a million Jews' lives. That is the power of individuals deciding that something is important and needs to be put back on the agenda. And that's the message of Bereishis, the power of the individual to change their lives and change the world around them. Chief Rabbi Goldstein has certainly reminded us of that message. Adon Olam Hashem Olach. We've mentioned here in the past, but I wanted to introduce in a slightly different way, that every morning we begin our tefillahs, Adon Olam Hashem Olach, a recognition of Kodesh Baruch Hu being Adon Olam, and all the messages which are found within that tefillah. If one searches historically to where the first time this tefillah is actually found within the Siddur, probably you have to go back to the time of the Gaonim. Some people actually say it's a bit later, to the time of Rav Shlomo Ibn Gavriel. And who wrote this extraordinary tefillah, who wrote this extraordinary introduction to our prayer? The question is why we begin Shachris every morning, why we begin our davening by saying Adon Olam Hashem Olach. And why, as Mr. Kaufman points out, when we go to bed at night and we say Biyodav Kidruchi Beisishon V'Oyra, before we go to bed at night, we also say that we place our soul completely in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we go to sleep. Why do we begin our davening in this way? So there's the Gemara. The Gemara tells us as follows. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Gemara in Brachos. Miyom Shabar Hakadosh Baruch Es Olam. From the day Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Lo Haya Odom Shekar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Odom. Ad Shabar Avram Avinu Vekar Odom. Shneimar Adonai Elokim B'Ma'ado. Until Avram Avinu came and he used the word Odom, nobody had yet used the word Odom to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu was the first person to use the word Odom to define, what's the difference between Odom? What does an Odom mean? So I brought with me a sefer from Shimon Schwab on prayer, which is a thick sefer, but really every Yid who has a schus to being a base of Medrash, Davenant, should understand what it is that they're saying and appreciate what they're saying. And Shimon Schwab has an exceptionally wonderful sefer where he goes through literally word by word what the words mean and why different things are placed in the order that it's placed in. And he was once asked the question, how do I have kavana in davening? I don't know if anybody's ever thought about this. How do I have kavana in davening? I remember when fax machines first came out. My father was convinced that people don't daven, they just fax their messages. Nowadays, with the speed of modern technology, maybe davening's got even faster. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, he says as follows, if you just think about the first few words in any brocha that you say, Baruch Atah, you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of blessings, and then you say that word, Adonai, and then you say Melech Olam. He said, just stop and think. What do you mean by that word, Adoin, with a yud at the end? Now he says, it means the following idea. Melech ha'olam, the king of the universe, has a different relationship with his subjects. A king could be a king over 60, 70, 100 million people. And whilst the community is well aware of the king, there are very few people that have a relationship with the king. He's completely in charge. He has absolute power. Nothing can happen within the kingdom without him, undoubtedly. But a relationship you don't have. An Odon, says Rav Schwab, and an Eved is a closer relationship. The Odin has a certain amount of Avodim who work for him. The Eved knows who his Odin is, and he's aware of it. And there's a relationship with him. And says Rav Schwab, when you start your tefillah, you say, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu in every brocha. Ato, you are the source of all brocha. And you're my master. I'm your Eved, but there's a relationship between you. And there's a relationship between me. And the word Odon refers to the concept of being able to have that personal relationship of a servant with the master. Melech Olam, I'm aware that you are in charge of the entire globe. That which I see and that which I don't see. But Odon is the first word that I use in every brocha. And says Rabbi Schwab, if a person would just stop and think every time those words were mentioned. What do I mean by those words? What does it mean a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean when I have thoughts and feelings? How am I directing towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And as we'll see later, how am I directing my actions towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Gemara, until Avraham Avinu came to the world, there was nobody who used the word Odon. Odon means it makes a difference what I say. Odon means it makes a difference how I behave. Odon means I have a relationship with the Borei Olam. He is my master, my personal master. Adon Olam Hashem Alach, Avraham Avinu, Vayeshkem Avraham Baboker, we'll see about that a little bit more in a few minutes, Mitzvah Hashem. But Avraham Avinu taught us how to daven in the morning. So there's a story once that somebody once came to the Gaon for an approbation for a sefer, and the furnace, as he opened up the sefer, which is a sefer on tefillah, he saw this idea that the reason we started Adon Olam was because Avraham Avinu started Shachris. He was the first person, as the Gemara say, to say Adon, and therefore we say Adon. And the Gross says, just to have read that is worthwhile to have seen this sefer and given an approbation. So Adon Olam means HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. But I saw a very nice Chassidish Maisa bought in a Yekesher Sefer. When I say a Chassidish Maisa, it's such a beautiful story that I'd like to share it with you. And I want to read it out exactly as it's written, because it's in Rabbi Schwab's Sefer, and he tells the following Maisa. He said, I heard a story from Rabbi Yosef Breuer, which he told me about his father, which was my Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Solomon Breuer. The old Rav Breuer was a very good friend of Rav Shimon Sofer. So we've got the maths here. Rabbi Breuer, the old Rabbi Breuer, had a connection with Rav Shimon Sofer, the Rav of Krakow. And the brother of the Ksav Sofer and the son of the Chasam Sofer. You get the little yichus here. Interesting interaction here across cultures and across countries. Once, when the two friends met, Rav Shimon Sofer asked Rav Breuer to tell him a short vort from his father-in-law, Rav Shimon Frol Hirsch. Upon which Rav Breuer told him that Rav Hirsch would point out that while Adon Olam describes the unfaithful eternity and the omnipotence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as you go through the words of Adon Olam, Hashem Molach B'Terem Kol Yetzir Ivro, and he's beyond anything we can imagine, it nevertheless makes reference to him in a very personal way. Because what do we say in Adon Olam? V'hu Keili, he's my God. V'chai Gali, and I have a personal relationship with him. Each person in his davening says, I have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch. You want to know a maisa for my mishpuch, from Yosef Breuer in his conversation with Rav Shimon Sofer? He said, I want to tell you a vort from Rav Shimon Frol Hirsch, and the vort is, never forget V'chu Keili. And Avraham Avinu began a process in teaching the world and teaching individuals that they can have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everything that I do and everything that I say has an enormous difference. The Pasuk tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that he was going to be multiplied, we see the famous Pasuk which tells us, Vayetzos HaChutza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him outside, Vayalma Habedna Hashemayim, look up into the sky, Usva Kochavim, and count the stars. every when we daven, we say the famous pasuk, "Mayne misper lekeichavim." What's the significance about Avraham Avinu being told to go outside and count the stars? The pasuk tells us in Tehillim, "Mayne misper lekeichavim, lekulam shemis yikar." Every single star has got its own unique and special name. As the Baal Shem Tov says, from a distance, the stars look like an enormous mass. But when you get close, you realize and recognize everyone has its particular tafkid, and everyone has its unique power and its unique resonance. And when we say those words, Moni Mispal HaKeichavrim, remind ourselves that Klal Yisrael are going to be compared to the stars. Every single one has got a name, and through everyone having its name and identity, and through the identity, an obligation to fulfill its unique and personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts each one of us, and each one of us has that obligation to have that relationship. Interesting enough, in the Tefillah, which introduces us to Avraham Avinu's Tefillah, as we mentioned a little earlier, the pasuk tells us, "Vayashkem Avram Baboike." The Gemara points out a very interesting idea. "Vayashkem Avram Baboike elamokem asher omod sham es pnei Hashem." So Avram Avinu had davened and for Sodom, and immediately afterwards, "Vayashkem," and the pasuk says, "Vayashkem Avram Baboike elamokem asher omod sham es pnei Hashem." So the Gemara tells us, what's the message of Vayashkem Baboker? Tanya Avram tiken shtefilah shachris. Avram got up early in the morning and he fixed shachris. But then it tells us something else. Shenema Vayashkem Avram Baboker el amokem asher amod sham. Ve'ein amida ela tefilah. Then the further quote from the Gemara in Brachos. What does it mean asher amod sham? Ein amida ela tefilah shenema vayomer Pinchas melamed she'Avram Avinu kovea mokem letefilose. So we learn in the same pasuk that Avraham Avinu got up early and davened shachris, that Avraham Avinu was also chose a place in which he should be davening. And of course, we famously know a person should always be davening the same shul, the same base of medrash. Certainly, if try their very hardest to daven in the same place. Sporting halach, even if a person has to daven at home, they should try and always make sure that they daven in the same place. I once heard an Indian, Ben Odom Lemokom, that's famous, but there's also an Indian Ben Odom Lechaveira. Why? Because if you daven in the same shul and you're not there one day, I'll assume, mamish, there's a problem. Either they went away for Simcha or Nebuch, they're not very well. And I'm told in Frankfurt, what used to happen is if somebody wasn't in shul that day, on the way home from shul, they'd go knock on his door and check everything's okay. There's a Ben Odom Lechaveira aspect to it. Unfortunately, nowadays, since everybody's davening in a different shul, well, I assume if I don't see you, you've gone to daven in a different shul. But in the Inyan of Ben Odom Lechaveira, you should also follow the direction of Avraham Avinu and always daven in the same. Then I'll know why you're not there and I can look after you. So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, "Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosh dvar malolo, hu mitamidiv shel Avraham Avinu." And the Mishnah goes through differences between Avraham Avinu and Bilam HaRosha. I once heard from Rav Leff, there's another interesting difference between Avraham Avinu and Bilam HaRosha. Avraham Avinu teaches a very important principle in Tefillah. Bilam HaRosha tried to curse Klal Yisrael. He went to this place, it didn't work. He went to that place, it didn't work. He went to that place, it didn't work. Each time he goes to a different place, he says, "Ugh, I must have a problem with the shul that I'm in. I must have a problem with the place that I'm in." Avraham Avinu says, no, maybe the problem's with me. Because Chazal say that Avraham Avinu went back to the same place that he davened in, and he davened all over again. Because if I have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's my obligation to work on my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about geography, it's about me. And therefore Avraham Avinu teaches us that your person always goes back to the place in which they daven, and that's where it is that they daven from. There's an interesting concept which is brought at the beginning of the Sedra, which is Avraham Avinu goes on his journey down to Mitzrayim, and the pasuk tells us that on the way back he also teaches a little bit of important midas. Having left Mitzrayim on the way back, vayelech l'masov, he goes on his journey mineged va'ad beis kel ad mokem asher hayasham oyhala betchila. On his way back from Mitzrayim, he makes a point of returning in the direction that he'd gone before. Rashi famously asked the question, why is it that we have to be told he has to go back on the way back from Eretz Mitzrayim to Canaan? Hayaholech lon, v'lom b'achsanya shalom b'hem b'ali choson Mitzrayim. The mandachal derech Eretz, to teach derech Eretz, that a person shouldn't change the place that they stayed in. So Avraham Avinu stayed in one place, as we famously know, on the way back, he made sure he went to stay in the same place. Rabbi Yaakov Kalinsky just points out, amazingly, if you just consider, the reason he went into Mitzrayim was because there was a famine. there was nothing left in Eretz Yisrael. Even though earlier we found out that he seemingly had wealth, but there was a famine in Mitzrayim, he has to leave. I saw one of the other Mephoshim bring down that the reason he went down to Mitzrayim is he'd run out of money because he was giving it all away. He opened his own Moses, he was teaching Torah, and he had, Baruch Hashem, he'd made, but he was giving it all away to ensure that other people were going to appreciate Yiddishkeit and Torah mitzvah. Like many. Anyway, so the principle behind it was that Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky says, I wonder where he stayed on the way down to Mizraim. Lechari didn't stay in the Hilton. He didn't stay in the most beautiful hotels. He's run out of money. That's why he's going to Mizraim. Who's going to put him up for a place to stay? And I remember seeing many years ago a story about Rev. Eliamelech Milizhinsk, his brother Rev. Zusha, who also, during a time of great poverty, without anything, they arrived in a town called Ladmer, according to the story. And there was a poor Yid called Reb Arad, who was the only person who was seemingly willing to offer these two Yidden a place to stay. And his abode was somewhat humble, to put it very politely. They stayed there, they were looked after. Years later, when they came back as the great Rebbes with their beautiful carriages and looking like millionaires, well, not millionaires, looking much more choshev. So, of course, all the townspeople came back, they wanted to look after them. And they said, no, we're going to stay with Reb Aaron, but we'll send our carriages to the wealthy people, because obviously the difference between who we were then and who we are now must be our carriages. So the carriages will go and stay with the rich people, and we'll go and stay with Reb Aaron, because we'll always stay in the same place. But it's a very interesting idea, because the second thing which is mentioned is to repay the debts. The debts which they incurred. Avraham Avinu must have borrowed money on his way down, didn't have any money. And as a result of that, he went to repay the debts. I saw a beautiful idea from Reb Zalman Volozhin, which fits in to the concepts that we're speaking about here, which is as follows. Avraham Avinu preached to the world that there's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu preached to the world that everything I say and everything that I do has significance. And the way that I behave has a difference. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after me at all time. Adoin, he's my master. So what do you think people thought when he's leaving Eretz Yisrael, the promised land, the Klal Yisrael are going to be and he's leaving Eretz Yisrael because there's no food and there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael. As a result of that, he's going down to Mitzrayim. What do you think people said? They probably said to him, so you're the one who's preaching to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He's in charge. Look what happens to you. So Zalman from Volozhin says, on the way back, he went to repay all of his debts. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. I went to Mitzrayim, I did what I needed to do, but Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seemed to be, that's what I should be. I've come out a rich and wealthy man. So not I'm only paying my physical debts, my fiscal debts to you, but I'm also paying the moral debts that I have, because people look at me as a result of what I've been through, and they would think, where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? My job is to show you in everything that I do that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And of course, for each one of us, as B'nai Avraham Avinu, that's our obligation as well. We are shining examples to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the individual, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after his world through those individuals. And each one of us, in our own Kiddush Hashem, in the way that we behave, is sending out a message. There's another famous example of this, which we see, again, later on in the Sedra. After Avraham Avinu had fought with the king, Vayomer Avraham el Melech Sodom, and there's a whole making agreement between them, and he says, Imechud v'ad sarach now. The famous thing is, I don't want anything from you. Says Rashi, Imechud, Dorish Rabba, B'schash Avraham Avinu, in the reward that Avraham Avinu said, Imechud v'ad sarach now, I don't want anything from you, I don't want straps, I don't want straight, nothing, thank you. Zochel bonav l'shtei mitzvahs. In the schus of Avraham Avinu saying that, later generations, his children, would inherit two mitzvahs. The chut shel techeles, the tzitzis, v'le tzvur shel tefillin. and the Tzur Shel Tefillin. That's me. I saw a beautiful thought, which is, and that's the first thing you do in the morning. It's the Chut Shel Techeles and the Tzur Tefillin. Because Avram Avinu taught you in the morning when you get up, Adain Alam Hashem Olach. And therefore, the first thing you do is you put on your tzitzis and you put on your tefillin. And that's the schus of his Hashkofas Achayim, as if to say. Rabbi Dessler points out that in the famous argument that Avram Avinu had together with his nephew Lot, Lot was an opportunist, taking all the chances he could to follow together with him. It was good company to mix with Avram Avinu. He was doing very well as a result of the relationship. The land could no longer hold them together because Baruch Hashem, they were very wealthy. And unfortunately, they couldn't live together. And there was an argument between them. The Kenani of Aprizi was still in the land. And Avram said to Lot, let's not have an argument, because we're brothers. Says Rashi, what does it mean, Anashim Achim Anachna? Says Rashi, Anashim Achim, Krovim, we're close family, and close family shouldn't fall out, we shouldn't have broigases, we've got to work it out together. But Midrash Agodra, Domim Beklast upon him. Rashi gives a continuous explanation. It says this, and Medrash tells us they looked alike. Avram Avinu looked a lot like his nephew Lot, and so it be. The question is, what's that got to do with anything? The fact that they look alike. The pasuk says, "Vayim Avram Lot." I'll note that we shouldn't have a machlekas, and we mishpocha shouldn't fall out, and we look alike. Rabbi Dessler's question. So he points out something very interesting. In the previous pasuk, it says, "Vayiriv bein rei miknei Avram and bein rei miknei Lot." There was an argument between these two. Va'kanani va'prizi oz yeshet baretz, and the Canaanite and the Prizite were still living in the land. What's the significance in telling me? So you're having an argument, and the Canaanite Chazal tells, because the machlekas was said late. You don't have any family. I'm going to inherit what it is that you have. And we've been promised that one day Eretz Yisrael is going to be ours. And since we've been promised that one day Eretz Yisrael is going to be ours, therefore, I'm going to have this land. And since I'm going to have this land, I can allow my animals to feed and graze wherever they wish to do so. And Avraham Avinu says, no. I can only have prizi oz yoshev b'haretz. Not yet. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us we can. But right now, your animals have to be going around with muzzles. The animals can only be feeding incorrect land. The previous pasuk tells us, interestingly enough, right at the beginning, that Avram Avinu, wherever he went, he would be Korah B'Shem Hashem. Wherever Avram Avinu went, that he would make sure that the world knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the world, and that part of his message to the world was that the world should know that Hashem is running the world. Says Rabbi Dessler, Avram Avinu had a major problem. His nephew and he look alike. Now, I'm not always going to get involved in everybody else's problems, but the problem is that people look at us and they see that we look alike. And because we look alike, they're going to mistake each one of us for the other. And you, according to my philosophy, are gonna... And what I can't afford to do is for people to see that I am going to Chalila be the Ganef. Because I've got a message to the world. And the message to the world is that everything I own is mine. And it's given to me by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have no right to take that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to you. Because it's yours. Because there's a personal hashkoch in the world. And a person needs to look after their own, but I have no right to take that which is not mine. And people are looking at me as the example of what's supposed to be. Adon Olam. Hu Keli, it's not some concept up there in the heavenly worlds, it's every day in the life that I'm living. And I cannot afford in any way that people will make the mistake of seeing that I could be the person, as Razan Lojan says, there are debts to pay if that happens. And it's very hard to pay those debts. People see you, see circumstances, and you have to explain yourself away as to why it is you do. I don't want that mistake to be made by people, and therefore... You go your way, and I'll go my way. Amazingly, for another time, even though Avram Avinu had good reason to separate from his nephew Lot, that doesn't stop him in waging a world war in order to save him. But nevertheless, for the Kiddush Hashem, for the message which I have to give to the world, to the lesson that the world has to have from me, that cannot be confused, that cannot be understood. And that Noach believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melchizedek, shame, they were all believe. But Avraham Avinu says, you can have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and each one of your actions that you do make an enormous difference. And everything that you do needs to be sanctified, and everything you say and each one of your actions are a lesson to the people around. It's very interesting, at the end of Parshas Noach, we have a list of all the generations of who gave birth to who, v'chula v'chula. And the Pasuk tells us, and we can choose any of them there, Baruch Hashem, so each of the generations, Chazal tell us that there were 10 generations which went from Noach from Ad Avram. So, for example, Ela told us Shem, Ben Meir, Shalom, V'yoledes, Arpachshad. So, Shem gave birth to Arpachshad, and then it says, Shonosayim, Achamabel, and it tells us how many after the Mabel. Vayhi, Shem, Achreolides, Arpachshad, Chamesh, Meir, Shonah, V'yoled, Bonim, Bonas. And then the Torah goes on to tell us how many years that he lived after he gave birth to the child. Vayhi, Eva, Arba, Shloshim, Shonah, he was 34 years old. Vayolidus Pelek, and he gave birth to Pelek. He Avach Elidus es Pelek Shleishim Shana Uba Shana. And the Torah tells us how many years he lived after he gave birth to this child, and so it carries on all the way until you come to the life of Terach, because it tells us when it comes to Terach that Terach gave birth to Avram, but it doesn't tell us afterwards how many years he lived. And he was 70 years when he gave birth to them. And then it says, Terach Yoledes Avram, etc., etc. Only at the very end of the Parsha do we find out how many years that he lived, but it doesn't teach us, as it is in the previous 9 generations, how many years he lived after he gave birth to a particular child. In each one of those generations, it's exactly the same, except for when we come to Terach. What's the significance of that? The answer is, when a parent gives birth to a child, the number of years the parent is able to live after the birth of the child is very significant for us, because that child is influenced by the previous generation. To be told the parent lived 200 years and they were alive together at that time is enormously important, because the power and the energy and the influence that a parent has is enormous. Until you come to Avram Avinu. Because when Terach had Avram Avinu, we're not told how many years Terach lives after us. Because Avram Avinu's relationship, he gave birth, as if to say, to himself. He was not just that person brought from a previous generation. He was able to become the individual to give birth to himself. And every morning, when we say Adon Olam, we remind ourselves that not only are we B'nai Avram Avinu, who was able to give birth to himself, regardless of where he came from, but we have to every morning give rebirth to ourselves and say every morning, Adon Olam Hashem Alach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about what I do, and I'm not a product of my past. Every morning has to be a new morning to recognition. V'ruchi givisi Hashem li v'lo yirom. When I go to sleep at night, the last thing I sing is Adon Olam, which is, if I appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu as my HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Because we have a unique mission, a unique obligation to make a difference to the world around us, and each one of us as a B'nai Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov has an appreciation and understanding what it means to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A good convention.